You are listening to a sermon from Christ Church, a multi-site church in southwest Louisiana. Christ Church is an ever-multiplying church, striving to be ethnically and economically diverse and called to help one another follow Christ in every area of life. To hear more from Christ Church, you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit us on the web at wearechristchurch.com.
If you would, open up your word to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. And also, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, but I'm going to say that for you. It's fairly familiar. Exodus chapter 4, verse 25. We are in a series on the Ten Commandments. We are now on the ninth commandment, and I'd like to challenge you as we begin to consider this truth. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is a promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we read, as we study, as we reflect, as we take into our hearts and minds the Ten Commandments, we take this into consideration. We are standing on the foundation of the fact that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So we do not approach the law as though it is burdensome, as though it is a heavy load upon our backs, as though it is some ladder we climb up into heaven. There is no condemnation. The gospel has been proclaimed over you. No condemnation for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That means that you are free from the condemnation that comes from the law of God on account of our breaking it. Amen? Thou shalt not lie. We all lie. The Bible says liars will find their part in the lake of fire, but Jesus Christ died for our sins. Amen? The Bible says thou shalt not murder. Jesus says that he who murders is guilty of hellfire, but he also says he who murders in the heart is guilty of hellfire, but Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he has freed us from the condemnation of the law. That is the good news. But what that means is now you can approach God's law with a lightness. You see, not flippancy, not complacency, but with a light joy. A passion. What the psalmist says, and what the psalmist calls a delight. The psalmist says, I delight in the law. What in the world? How do you delight in the law? Right? I delight in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I delight that Jesus Christ paid for my sins. And that if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. Now that's something to delight in. Amen? Amen. But the psalmist also delights in the law. What in the world? How do you have a passion, an exuberance, a delight in the law as though it is sweet as honey, he says. It's sweeter than honey. It's because the law for the Christian is one of the ways that Jesus takes us by the hand and shows us how to walk. Would you see that? Jesus, as a guide, as a teacher, as a sage, takes us by the hand and he says, Brandon, don't walk down paths of falsehood. Follow me down paths of truth. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And I want to be led by Jesus. Amen? That's what it means to have a delight, to have a heartfelt affection for not only the fact that Jesus died for our sins, but when Jesus opens his mouth and says, live like this, I want to love that too and have a heartfelt affection for that as well. Amen? So let me challenge you, as we go to the law, you might not have woke up this morning and said, ooh, I'm so excited about a sermon on the Ten Commandments. Now, that's not one of the ones that we heavily market and bring a lot of visitors in for, all right? But listen, but mature Christians know that there is a delight that is to be had in the law of God. It's how Jesus Christ, one of the ways Jesus takes us by the hand, shows us how to live. Shows us how to walk down paths of pleasing him. Shows us how to walk down paths of flourishing, down paths of righteousness. Amen? So let's listen with utmost attention and with utmost affection as we go to the law of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false. What's that next word? Witness. Against your, what's that next word? Neighbor. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Paul says this to the Ephesian church. These are baby Christians, not unlike ourselves. He says, therefore, having put away, what's that word? Falsehood. Other translations would say that we are to put away falsehood. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The New Testament commentary, one of them, on Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Who here believes that Jesus is here today? By his Spirit. Okay. If Jesus were here today, one of the things that he might say to us is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. He would say that to you. He would say to you Exodus 20, verse 16. And he would begin to teach you how that lives out in your life. Jesus, I do believe by his Spirit, and as the word is preached, is here today taking us by the hand and saying, Christ Church, you are to be known as a place of truth. Christ Church, come with me. You are not to be safe territory for falsehood. Falsehood comes here and it dies here. It's buried here. Christ Church, you are to be a place of truth. You, each and every one of you, are to walk down paths of truth for your neighbor. Amen? That's what Jesus is saying to us today. But what is, if generally speaking, he guiding us from and to? He's guiding us from, look right there in verse 25 of Ephesians 24. He's guiding us away from what? Falsehood. The Pharisees, think with me. The Pharisees, they had a certain opinion about John the Baptist. You might remember this story. They believed that John the Baptist was not of God. They believed John the Baptist to have been a false prophet. They believed that John the Baptist was, quote, of man, not of God. They had that belief about him. They harbored it secretly inside their own hearts. And the Bible says that they would never speak openly about that because they were afraid of the crowds. The crowds loved John the Baptist. John the Baptist was popular among the people. And the Pharisees, loving the praises of men more than God, and the Pharisees, afraid of losing points in the polls, the Pharisees, not exactly happy or okay with being discredited by the popular vote, stayed quiet about what they believed about John the Baptist. Would you nod your head if you're tracking? Right. They believed John the Baptist to be of man, but they would never say so. They would never openly say it. They would harbor that secretly in their heart. They would live in realms of diplomacy and politics. And they would talk about John the Baptist in back rooms and in secret among safe friends. But they would never openly speak what they believed to be true because they were what? Afraid. And because they wanted what? The praises of men. There are certain delights, certain deceitful desires, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, that compel us to walk down paths of falsehood. Certain fears. We're too afraid to speak the truth. Certain lusts and desires. We want the praises of others, so we stay quiet. Or we tell false truths or half-truths. Or we tell stories outside of context. It is fear inside the heart which compels us to live in the shadows, to deal in half-truths, to whisper in private. The leaders in Jesus' day, the Bible says that there were some of them that believed on Jesus in some sense. But though they believed on Jesus in some sense, they would not confess him openly and publicly. They believed the truth in some sense, but they would not stand up for the truth. They would not speak boldly the truth. Why not? Because those leaders, the Bible said, were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. Bear with us. I know it's warm in here. Everyone's going to check the air conditions real quick. All right. The leaders of that day were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. Do you know what it meant to be kicked out of the synagogue? Focus with me. Do your utmost to pay attention. It meant that you would be socially ostracized, marginalized. Imagine all your friends that you have right now. Imagine all of your business contacts. Imagine your entire Rolodex, if you still use one. Imagine all of the different contacts that you have, your network, what you would see. Imagine being completely and utterly ostracized and kicked out of them completely. Socially marginalized, economically marginalized. Lose all of your business contacts. Lose all of your leads. Lose all of your church friends, all of your friends whatsoever, and be ostracized by your complete family. They were afraid of that. Who wouldn't be, right? And because of the fear of being marginalized by their friends and family and coworkers in town, they stayed quiet about who Jesus was. They were compelled by what desire in their heart? They were compelled by fear. They were compelled by the need for people's approval. They were compelled by various deceitful desires to walk down paths of secrecy, to walk down paths of half-truths, to walk in the shadows. There is a path of falsehood. There is a lifestyle, what Paul calls in Ephesians chapter 4, a manner of life, which is characterized by falsehood. Ananias and Sapphira, wanting the praises of men, and apparently wanting to have some money. For greed, for lust, for fear, they said that they gave a certain amount of money, but what? But they had actually given a different amount of money, and what happened to them? They were killed. For fear, for lust, for greed. These deceitful desires are dangled in front of us like carrots every day, and they compel us to walk down paths of falsehood, to live in a realm of falsehood, to have a lifestyle of falsehood. Would you nod your head if you're tracking? Jesus says, no, no, no. He takes us by the hand with his law, and he compels us to leave that. Rather, as Christians, we are to be filled not with fear, but with, not fear, but faith that Jesus Christ is going to work things out for us. That Jesus Christ, if we lose friends, he's going to find us some other ones. If we lose family, he's going to adopt us into a new family. If we lose our possessions, he has a mansion built for us in heaven. We believe in Jesus' name, and we believe in his word, and he says, Brandon, don't lie. Don't deal in half-truths. Don't walk in the realm of falsehood. Don't deal in myths and whispers. Don't walk down those paths. Don't be afraid. Trust me and tell the truth. Trust me and bear true witness. Hope that he's going to work it out, that all things are going to work for his good. But if I tell the truth, if I don't tweak it, if I don't fudge it, if I don't deviate, if I don't stay quiet, it's going to be difficult. Yes, trusting Jesus is not always easy. It's going to involve some people getting upset with me, yes, but trust in Jesus. How do I know what you want me to do in this decision, Jesus? Tell the truth. But it's going to be hard. Tell the truth. Trust me. I'm going to work it out. Hope in me. Love them. They deserve the truth. They were created in my image, and I love them. So tell them the truth. They deserve it. They don't deserve for you to walk around on eggshells knowing that they have a problem and refusing to say something because you're afraid to get them upset. Tell the truth. Put it on the line. Die daily. This is the path that is characterized by truth. Generally speaking, overview, the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, and Paul's commentary on that commandment to put away falsehood and to speak the truth to your neighbor, for we are all members one of another. Generally speaking, the overview is Jesus is saying, quit living this lifestyle and start living a new lifestyle. Don't walk like the Gentiles do, Ephesians chapter 4. Instead, walk this new path following after Jesus Christ, who is the faithful and true witness. Amen, church? That's the overview. But let's be more specific, okay? Let's narrow down a little bit on what falsehood actually is. He says, if you look there in verse 25, just getting more specific here. Verse 25, put away falsehood, all lies, all lying, all lies of accusation. What is an accusation? Accusations are things that we say about one another, very often against one another, and very often to individuals that have nothing to do with it whatsoever. When we make an accusation, it's very often a half-truth or a truth outside of the context. Or perhaps it's a truth, but we are not telling it for the purpose of healing. We're telling it for the purpose of bludgeoning. Are you with me? To accuse, to use the truth or a half-truth or a truth outside of context to condemn is the work of whom? Satan, the accuser. We are to reject, when we turn off paths of falsehood, we are to reject, to avoid, and to excuse ourselves from all manner of accusation. There is a way in the scriptures and a means in the scriptures to rebuke sin, but it is not an accusation the way the devil does it. When we forsake falsehood, we forsake false accusations, accusations done in secret. Accusations wherein we act like the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Accusations that we give in private so that no one can cross-examine it and no one can call us into account. Little secret accusations that we say towards other people. Boom. Oh, they did this. Let me tell you why they're doing it. Let me tell you what's really going on inside their heart. Who's done that before? Yes, the whole room should now at this point. So this is not, look, this ain't me. Saying you, this is all of us are in this boat. When Jesus takes us by the hand and says, move away from falsehood, he says, move away from those accusations. Quit that. Quit the slander. Quit the accusations. Quit the half-truths. Quit the exaggerations. Quit the uncharitable judgments about what's going on in other people's hearts. Amen. Excuse yourselves from those conversations. Let your heart and your ears be the burial ground for those sorts of lies and those sorts of myths. Amen, church? Christ Church is to be an unsafe place for that sort of lie. He says, forsake all lies of rumor. You know, not just lies of accusation, but lies of rumor. The Bible says that rumors are sweet like morsels. Why are they sweet? You ever thought about that? Why do they taste so good? Right? David says that the law of God is sweeter than honey, but the Bible also says sometimes rumors go down like sweet morsels. Why do they? Well, because we wrestle with insecurities, don't we? And with fears and suspicion of one another and distrust and envy. So when someone says, oh, yeah, you distrust them? Well, let me tell you a little something. We're like, we just swallow it in. It must be completely true. We are to forsake all lies of accusation, all lies of rumor, all lies of half-truths, truths outside of context. Amen. All lies of propaganda, that is keeping the important true stuff down in the footnotes, or selectively saying certain things and not others. All lies of propaganda, all lies of false advertising. We're to reject all lies of silence, where we just lift our eyebrows or shrug our shoulders instead of speaking up for the truth. We're to reject all manner of lies. Amen, Christ Church? But it's more than just that. Not only we're to leave the paths of falsehood by rejecting lies and lying, we're also to reject and to forsake the receiving of those lies. It's not just the telling, but it's also the receiving of half-truths. The book of Proverbs tells us that a wise man hears both sides of the story before passing judgment. Amen? If we are to walk paths of truth and we hear something, a wise man should say, I'm not going to be able to receive that. I need to hear the other side of the story. I need to hear the context. Because I'm trying to walk a path of truth here, not a path of falsehood. A person walking a path of truth, following after Jesus, is careful to make sure that they're hearing the whole story. Make sure they're the right person to even be hearing the story in the first place. Amen? We're rejecting lies. We're also rejecting the receiving of those lies and the gobbling them up as juicy little nuggets of rumor. Right? Not only do we reject the telling of lies and the receiving of lies, and we reject silence, but what do? We speak the truth. Wow. I just the whole week in studying this, I'm just imagining what would Christ Church be? What could we be? What should we be if we became hostile territory for lies. If we gave no foothold for the devil, he would make his accusations and we would say, what about this? What about that? I don't know if I can receive that. That's not the right channel. You shouldn't be talking to me. Is that a half-truth or a whole truth? If we just had a force field, or what they call in religious circles, a hedge of protection, of discernment, right? Of discernment, of wisdom, of shrewdness, knowing that the devil is trying, he's trying to get in, and we just became an unsafe place for any of those sorts of whispers and juicy nuggets and rumors. Amen, church? Listen, we're all members one of another. Would we do that to our hand? Would the right hand do that to the left? Would the right hand harm the left hand? No, we're all members one of another. You don't talk about my brother that way. You don't talk about my sister that way. Maybe they do have sin, but I don't know why in the world you're talking to me about it. Maybe they do have sin. We need to follow Matthew chapter 18 and the Jesus' instructions on how to do church discipline. We need to do it right because that person's reputation is in our hands. That person's name is in our hands. And I want to walk a path of truth. I want to be a faithful and true witness, not a false half-truth, wink, wink, nudge, nudge sort of a witness. Amen? Christ Church has to be an unsafe, hostile territory for lies and half-truths and the receiving of lies. That anyone who's got those sorts of agendas and harboring secret ill wills, we just put a stop to it. Time out, brother. Time out, sister. That's not how a true and faithful witness acts. It is the rejection. Jesus says today, Christ Church, by the law, we leave this path of falsehood. That's how you used to live. That's how you used to walk. That's how the world walks. Leave that path and follow me in the path of truth, which is rejecting lies, rejecting the receiving of lies, and rejecting lies of silence. And there's plenty of other things that it means. But also, it is it's positively to speak the truth. Amen? Now, this is something that you really got to understand about Christian ethics, about what Jesus is calling us to do. Does anyone know the silver rule? Have you ever heard of the silver rule? Who's heard of the golden rule? Okay, have you heard of the silver rule? The silver rule is don't do unto others what you don't want them to do to you. The golden rule is what? Do unto others. Think about this with me. Christianity, Jesus says to do unto others, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't say don't hate your neighbor because you don't want to be hated. It's not a negative. It's ultimately a positive. Right? So Christianity, Christian ethics says, and think about this, think carefully. It says don't worship a false god. Is that all it says? It says worship the true God, right? When it says, don't steal, we don't say, oh, I don't steal from anyone. No, that's the silver rule. It says, work with your hands in order that you might make a profit, in order that you might have something to share. You see? If you're not sharing, in Christianity, if you're not sharing, you're still stealing. Right? If you're not worshiping the true God, you're still worshiping the false gods. There's no neutral territory where you leave being a bad person and enter into a good person. Oh, I don't steal. I don't lie. I'm not hurting anyone. No, you can stay on your couch. You can build all sorts of moral fences around you. You can be in your home. You can completely and utterly control your behaviors and your lifestyle and your kids' behaviors and lifestyle. Put yourself in a giant bubble. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't worship false gods. I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't. I am therefore good. Jesus would say, no. You're not. Who are you sharing with? Well, it's just me and my family. No. Who are you telling the truth to? Well, me and my family. No. See, the ethics of Christianity, that's why I say he's taking you by the hand, he's pulling you. The ethics of Christianity, Jesus in his law, he pulls you. He pulls you over here to neighbors. They're mean. I don't like them. I'm embarrassed to you. He pulls you to these people in your community, you see? For we are members one of another. Christians these days aren't even sure what that word we means. What we? You mean me and my wife? No. No. We, members one of another. There's some people out there called the church, the body of Christ. And then Jesus calls us. He says, you can't just not be a bad person. Don't steal. Don't lie. I'm pulling you by the arm into this new group of humans. I'm pulling them all together. Here, guys, we're all coming together. And I'm telling you to speak the truth one to another. Because you're all parts of the same body. You see that? His law guides, it pushes, it pulls, it makes us uncomfortable. It gets us up out of our comfort zone. I like to do things this way. I like to keep things safe. I like to play it easy. I've got all the right fences. No, he pulls us into unsafe territory and puts us all in the same room together and says, work it out. You get that? So, I mean, if you don't have a church community, you really aren't even coming close. You're not even following the spirit of the law whatsoever. But having a church community now, being with each other and being members of the same body and feeling each other's elbows from time to time, you know what Jesus wants you to do. You see? He's pushing and pulling you toward one another and saying to you, speak the truth. It's positive. It's not just negative. It's positive. And what is he calling us to do? Speak the truth. What does that mean? It's the bigger theme in Scripture is the idea of being a true and faithful witness. Who here has heard the phrase, I'm supposed to witness? You've heard that? I'm supposed to witness to others, okay? I'm a witness. Jesus says in the book of Acts, you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. When the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not bear false witness, it is therefore implied that we are to bear true witness. That we are to be true witnesses of the truth one to another. We are to be and speak and think and stand up for and live in the truth. We are to be witnesses. So generally speaking, this command is calling each and every one of us individually and collectively as a group to be a true witness. Actively, off the couch, in the community, among one another. It's pulling us and pushing us and saying, walk the path of truth with one another. Right? It's saying, think the truth. There are many, many, unfortunately, in this day and age of relativism. In this day and age, people don't really believe that truth is an actual thing. They believe that truth is something that we sort of imagine in our minds, and it works for some of you. And maybe that works for people at this time and day, but it doesn't work for me. Who's heard something like that before? Yeah, that's pretty much the air we breathe in our society. What's true for you may or may not be true for me. What's true for Americans at this time and age may or may not be true for so-and-so in some other part in time. We are living in a day of relativism, and in the middle of all this, Christians are told to think the truth, the objective truth as revealed in the Word of God. Amen? To think the truth. We are called to doctrinal precision. Amen? We're called to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not called to be dummies, ambiguous and vague, rounded off the corners of all the truths. We're called to think the truth. How can you be a true and faithful witness if you're not first thinking the truth? Amen? That means we're called to study the truth, to grow in the truth, to read the truth, to sit in front of the teaching of the truth, to go to the Lord in prayer with our Bibles open and say, lead me in paths of truth. I need to think right. And then we have to speak it. It's not enough just to be thinking it, but we have to be telling it one to another. Amen? We become a conduit for the truth. It comes in, and it has to go out. We think the truth. We speak the truth. And then what else? We're called to stand up for the truth. We don't have license. We aren't free to be silent in the face of evil and injustice. We are called to stand up for the truth. We are called to be witnesses to the truth in a hostile territory. It involves thinking it, speaking it, and standing up for it. And it involves walking in it. Not only are we to articulate the truth with our mouths, but we have to live in light of the truth. Our behavior and our lifestyle should be that which adorns the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to these words I'm saying. I know it's warm in here. I'm not exactly sure. I know you're distracted. But don't fall asleep with the sleepy warmness, all right? You think I'm sweating way more than you. I'm backing up from the Lord's Supper table, all right? I'm sweating way more than y'all. But don't be distracted, okay? Listen, why collectively? Why is it that I make such a big deal about being a multi-ethnic church, a church that enjoys ethnic diversity and hopefully one day socioeconomic diversity? Why make such a big deal? That's going to be tough. Yeah? That's going to be touchy. Yeah? There are people who have left this church because they'd rather just keep it comfortable somewhere else. That's fine. Why do we make such a big deal about it? Because we are called not only to articulate the truth, but to embody the truth. We are called not just to be talking heads that speak out in diatribes and speak out in monologue speeches. We're called to be witnesses. And a witness is only as good of a witness if they have some sense of credibility before the jury. Are you with me? The witness is not only one who thinks the truth and speaks the truth, but has to have some level of credibility, that has to be living the truth. And if the gospel says that it tears down walls of hostility, then I want to believe that. And if it doesn't tear down walls of hostility, it must not be the gospel. If we're going to speak the actual gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to be doing everything that we possibly can to be living in light of the gospel, which is for all nations, which brings people together, which produces love. They will know you are my disciples because of the love that you have for everyone that's just like you. Please. That doesn't take the Holy Spirit. That's not what it means. They will know you are my disciples for the love that you have for everyone else that does things just like you and thinks just like you. That doesn't take the Holy Spirit. The world has that sort of a unity, right? You know, we all, if we have something in common, we get along, that's fine. No, what takes the Holy Spirit, what takes the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is loving those who are different than you. That takes walls of hostility coming down because of the gospel of Jesus Christ saying to everyone, you're all sinners and you're all redeemed in Christ. Everyone's on an equal playing field. Amen? The gospel of Jesus Christ produces a unity between people that are different. And if it isn't doing that, it isn't the gospel. And I'm not going to sit up here for the 30 years of my life and preach a gospel and not try to build a church that looks like it. Because we're called not just to be mouthpieces, we're called to be witnesses, to articulate and to embody the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we can't embody the truths, then we might as well just shut up. Amen? Amen. Listen, that is not only true collectively as a body, that's true for you individually. If you have a vulgar potty mouth, how is that behavior that adorns the gospel of Jesus Christ? He who is pure, he who is righteous, did not save you so that you could be free to run your mouth like a little vile pervert. He called you to be pure in your speech. Let no filthy talk be known among you. No crude joking, the Apostle Paul says. No innuendo, godliness, purity, holiness in our speech. How can you be a witness of Jesus Christ when your behavior at work is different than your behavior on Sunday morning? What do people in this community think about you and your behavior? I trust you. Trust me. They will reject what you have to say if your behavior isn't in accord with the message that you teach. Amen, Christ Church? Now, I could give a million examples for that, but I take it that you get the point that we have to think the truth, doctrinal precision. We don't get to be loosey-goosey with the Word of God. Speaking the truth. We don't have the right to just think it and read about it. We have to be bearing witness to it. What good does it do anyone if we don't open up our mouths? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? Think it, speak it, stand up for it, walk in it. And all along, we're pointing to the one who is the truth, capital T, Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way and I am the truth. This is what it means. This is bringing the whole Bible to bear on the command, do not bear false witness, rather bear true witness. Amen, Christ Church. And what's the motive? In Exodus, we see that the motive is the word neighbor. It was to Israel, the community of God's people, and to harm a neighbor was to harm yourself. Because they were all neighbors of one community. But for the Apostle Paul, we are to speak the truth with the neighbor, and he then interprets who the neighbors are. It is, generally speaking, all mankind, but it is especially speaking right here, for we are members of one another. I'm a member. You're a member. You ever heard of that phrase, membership? So lame. So corporate, right? No. They stole the word, right? Membership. When people are baptized into the membership of this church, into the membership of the body of Christ, when people come here and they stand and they say, I'm a member, they don't mean I paid my dues and now I'm on the rolls and I expect the benefits like a member at Red Laurel's Country Club. Doesn't mean the same thing. Is it the same word? Unfortunately, yes. But that is because it would be weird for us to say these people have applied to be body parts. Right? But that is the word, right? This person would like to be an arm, and this person would like to be an eyeball. This person thinks they're a mouth, but they're really not. And, you know, so. No, it's weird to say body part, but that's what Paul means. Body parts. You see that? Now, if we're all body parts one of another, how in the world will we go around speaking lies about one another? How in the world will we stay quiet when another is engaged in falsehood? Would my right hand lie to my left? Try to trick it? Harbor some bitter, secret bitterness against the, I really have a problem with the left hand over there. Well, the mind says, well, you're an idiot. You know, how are you going to lift up heavy things without his help, right? No, woman, that's the point. If your left hand is on the stove and the rest of the body is like, if you don't quit that, you're going to fall off, right? But we don't want him to be upset. Well, do you want to have a hand or not? Right? Do you love your hand? Do you like being able to eat things and cut up things and lift heavy objects? You know, do you love them? Well, you know, if I say something, they're going to be mad at me, and so and so's going to be mad at me, and they're going to think I'm judging them. Yes, I get that. You got to speak the truth in love. Our goal is to persuade, not to bludgeon. Yes, yes, yes. But finally, when it's said and done, speak the truth, or else they're gone. You're playing with fire. You see what I'm saying? Speak the truth. In love, with the goal of persuasion, with the goal of saving, but we owe one another because we are created in the image of God and we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We owe one another the open, unadulterated, untweaked, unadjusted truth with love, the goal of restoration and persuasion. We owe one another to say, time out, man. Look, you're leveling an accusation. Where is the defense attorney? You're the prosecutor. Where's the defense attorney? That's not how court goes down. That's not justice. You see? Time out, man. Time out. You can't say these things about my brother and sister in Christ. You're speculating all sorts of ill motives inside his heart. Hey, you don't know these things. You're not God. You don't judge the heart. Time out. There's a proper way to do these things. There's proper pathways and proper channels. Amen, church? That's false teaching. The Bible says this. It doesn't say that. We have to be a church that embraces the truth and follows Jesus down paths of truth. Amen, Christ Church? Listen, if anyone here this morning, as I close, if anyone here this morning heard me say at the very beginning that liars will find their part in the lake of fire, who heard that? Okay. Is that true? Let me speak the truth to you. It's true. It's true. But I also said what? But Jesus died. And all those who turn to him are freed from the condemnation that comes from the law. Amen? Listen, Jesus had his back whipped. By his stripes we are healed, the Bible says. Amen. He had his brow pierced. He had his hands pierced, his side pierced. He was crucified. He was spit on and he was lied against. Did you know that? They brought forth false witnesses. And the false witnesses said, he said he's going to destroy the temple. Lied against him. Took his words and twisted them. Gave half-truths. Told little stories outside of context. And he didn't speak up on his own behalf. He didn't say, no, I'm talking about my body. He didn't speak up on his own behalf. He stayed quiet like a lamb before its slaughterers. Why? So that we, the false witnesses, could be freed from the penalty of sin. If you are a liar this morning, and that is all of us, know that by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be a redeemed saint. And you can now freely, passionately, given it the best you got by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk new paths of truth in your life. Amen, Christ Church. Let's repent of our falsehoods and let's follow Christ down the way of truth. Why? Compelled by the fact that he died for us.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Christ Church. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit our website at wearechristchurch.com.